What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Does anyone actually know what's going on here?
I literally have no idea.
Help.
We're 20 whatever.
Hi.
Hey.
Hello.
And welcome back to 20 whatever.
Whoop whoop.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, who's going to say it this time? I know.
I felt it. I was like, oh, I need to do it.
Yeah, yeah. I can't believe it's our 7th episode.
I know. It's gone so fast.
Yeah. It feels like we just started.
It really does. No, actually.
And I feel like now we've really like kind of hit our stride where I'm like, okay, I know exactly what to expect when we sit down.
Yeah.
Yep. And I just keep like anytime I'm during my week, I obviously always looking forward to it. And I'm just like, oh, wait, let me write that down for let's talk about that. Write that down. Oh, yeah, I need to talk about the girls with that.
Literally every time something happens to me, I'm like, oh my gosh. Okay. I'm going to talk about that on the podcast. Yeah. Which actually, so we all went out to dinner last night.
Yeah.
Do we want to talk about the Ubers? Because
I think we need to.
Please do. And I actually want a recap because I wasn't in either
we
of
were
Ubers.
In separate Ubers.
Yeah. And I didn't want to text you guys about like my Uber being sketch because I was like, oh, I don't want to make them like feel bad or whatever, like be concerned. So I'm texting Steven, and then Ryan texts in our group chat like, oh my gosh, my Uber right now. And I was like, girl, me too.
It was like happening consecutively. Like, yeah. It was happening at the same time.
So if anyone took an Uber last night, like just tell us if it was bananas because yeah. There was something in the air.
There was something in the Uber air.
You guys, I was driving home. So I just, my phone was just like ding, 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 ding. And I like glance over at like a light and I just see it's like you and her blowing up in the group chat. I'm like, what could this be? So like I was driving home like, what are they talking about? Something's going down. So please just give me the tea.
So Ryan, you get in your Uber.
Okay, so I get in my Uber. The guy was really nice. He like hops out of his car to like open the door for me, which was nice. I was like, okay, be loved.
That's really nice.
Yeah, I was like, okay, like, yeah, open the door for me. Like, get it.
Okay.
And I get in his car and he has like a huge sticker on the back. It just had a lot of American flags and it was like, I don't know, like God saves everyone or God bless everyone, which is fine, you know, whatever. It was a huge sticker though, like very, very large. And I was like, okay, hello.
The picture you sent, it like took up the entire like the whole top of the car.
Yeah. It was like the entire like back of the front seat.
Yes.
It was very large. Again, fine, but it took me off guard. So I sit down. I'm like, okay, whatever. He offers me a Jolly Rancher out of a big giant Jolly Rancher bag.
I kind of love that.
A gentleman.
Though. Did you take it?
Yeah, they were wrapped. They were wrapped. Otherwise, no. But I didn't want. So I was like, oh, no, thank you. And he goes, oh, healthy girl. And I was like,
okay.
I was like, no, I'm very much not healthy. I just had dinner, so that's why I don't want that. He was like, okay. We love that self-control. And I was like, I'm just not hungry.
There's no self-control here.
Yeah. And I wasn't trying to like be confrontational, but I was like, don't call me healthy girl because I don't want your candy. Like, that's weird.
Right. And it feels don't say like, that. And don't yeah. say that to
when
people.
You also yeah. say that sentence, that makes the candy seem so much weirder.
Actually.
That's weird. So I was like, okay, like, maybe you're just trying to be nice and you just, like, don't know how to, like,
yeah.
talk, but whatever. So we're sitting there, you know, we're driving or whatever, and he's like, oh, do you have an artist that you want to play? And I was like, oh, yeah. So I told him, I'm like, play Blast. That's my favorite. And he was like, okay. He looks him up. He goes, oh, he has explicit. That's what he said. He didn't say he has explicit music or these are explicit lyrics. He has explicit.
He has it. It is in his possession.
He is explicit himself.
And I was like,
it's something you can catch.
Yes.
Like, don't cough on me. I have the explicit.
Yeah, that's exactly how he said it. And I was like, oh, sir. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, you can play Hannah Montana. And I don't know why that was the first like artist that came to my head.
Because you're like, what is the opposite of explicit?
Yeah, I was like.
So did he?
No, he didn't. He didn't even look it up. He just was like, he just played my music. I was like, so what did you even say that for?
Yeah. Okay. He just wanted you to know.
And also, like, don't ask me to play music. Don't ask people to play music if you don't want to play their music. Just play whatever. Because right.
Like, you didn't care. You didn't say put this on.
No, and I never care. Like, if whatever music is playing in the Uber, like, I don't care. I also will probably put my AirPods in. Like, it's not that deep. Just drive me to where I need to go. Yeah. But if you ask me for my, I'm going to be like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool. Let's play this music, whatever. And he was like, he has explicit.
It honestly feels like a test now, like hearing about like the sticker and then hitting you with the
Jolly Rancher.
Yeah, and you're a healthy girl, and it, and then you're giving something explicit. He's like,
and you're a healthy girl.
You gotta say the artist part too.
What?
That he asked if you were an artist.
Oh my God,
or musician.
Yeah. So he goes, so after he starts playing the music, whatever, I'm like, I'm just chilling. I'm trying to just like, let's get to my destination. I'm sitting there and he's looking at me in the rear view and I'm like looking at him, looking at me.
Oh my gosh.
And he's like, are you a musician? And I was like, why? He was like, oh, I don't know, you just seem like one. And I was like, why? He's like, I don't know, you just kind of give off that like vibe. I was like, no, I'm just bald.
Didn't he was like, oh, you seem artsy.
Yeah, he's like, you just kind of give that like artsy vibe. And I was like, he's why? Like,
you were like, it's my bald head.
You're like, it's because I don't have hair.
It's because
it?
I don't have hair. And I'm like, I don't know, whatever. Probably like my septum ring or something. Like, it's, you know, giving like whatever, which is nothing. But like, it was a lot.
So
and then
funny.
I got home. He dropped me off. I got out of the car and he was like, God bless you. And I was like, thank you. And I got in. I was like, that was a lot. So that was my Uber ride. Sierra, please. Yours was absolutely way more chaotic than mine.
Okay.
Please.
So I get into my Uber and literally before I've closed the door, after like I walked up, he said, are you Sierra? Yes. I'm literally about to close the door. I'm like, oh, how's your day? He's like, oh, it's been rough. And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry to hear that. I thought that would be it. Before I could even finish saying that was rough, he's like, yep. Me and my wife got in a fight in the front yard. I had to call CPS on her. We've got kids. He starts telling me like the ages of his kids, how his wife is just horrible. No. And he's like it is a monologue. Like he is prepared. I have not gotten a word in and it's been like 3 or 4 minutes at this point.
No.
And at this point I'm just thinking this man, he just needs someone to talk to. Right. So I'm not like scared. I'm just like, this guy's emotional. But then he says, yep, she keeps threatening to kill me. All women are the same. And then I'm like,
oh,
okay. Yikes. All women are the same. You hate your wife. She wants to kill you. Now I'm a little scared.
Yeah.
Right.
And then he starts talking about how she's no good and a cheater and da 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 da. And again, all women are the same. And that's when I start bing, 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 red alarms
right,
going.
Right. Wee-oo, wee-oo.
Yep. Texting Steven like, hey, I think I'm okay, but I'm in an Uber. It's a little weird. Can you track my location? I also call him to do the whole like, hi, husband,
just
I'm
got
on my
the
way
Uber.
Home.
Right.
Just, yeah, that whole thing. When I hang up, it's quiet for a couple minutes. So I think, okay, he's like, now we're just listening to music.
Right.
And he's like, oh, is this music okay? And I was like, yeah, sure. It's like, I like anything. And he's like, oh, good. My wife hates this music. I can never play this music for my wife. I'm so glad you let me play this music. And at this point, I'm like, what? I'm gonna record.
Yeah.
I'm gonna record this. My dumb ass has the flash on. This man is monologuing to me about his horrible wife and the flash goes off and I hide that thing so fast. He didn't see it, but then I was like afraid to record. So he keeps going on. Now he's telling me about how his wife's brother, his brother-in-law gets it because she's crazy to him too and da 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 all this stuff. Then I take my phone out and I try to record again.
Right.
And then this is what I got that I showed the girls. He literally is like, he's like, oh, yeah, takes off his hat, which you can't see in the video because I just had it down. But he's like, this, like, she beat me up today. And then he starts going into, like, she says, I'm the abusive one. But look, like, look what she did to me.
No.
And then I'm, like, literally.
Feeling unsafe.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, no,
and
right.
He's, and this isn't, like, the video clip that I showed you guys. He's going on this whole thing about, you know, their relationship issues. And then he goes into, like nice guy mode of, like, but I just want the best for her, you know? I just want her to have confidence in herself so that she can love us and da 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 da. And at this point, we're like coming up to my house and I'm like, oh, it's the one on opposite side of the street that my house is on.
Right.
So I had him drop me off at my neighbor's house.
Good.
Absolutely.
And then the second I get out of the car, I hear the, like, you know, your driver is 8 minutes away. And I'm like, this man is about to go do the same thing to the next person. I am not the first person he monologued to.
No, you were not the first or the last girlfriend. Oh my gosh. But, like, in that moment, really, what do? You're just kind of like, okay, I'm so sorry.
They were making fun of me because in the video, I'm
she's like,
I felt like,
oh, yeah. Oh, man.
Oh, no.
That was my favorite.
It was the, oh, man.
I was afraid that if I didn't say anything, he'd be like, what? Do you agree with her? Right.
Right.
So I'm trying to, like, just engage yeah. but not, like, engage.
And right. he hit you with the all women are like that. Yeah. So you're like, well, I'm all women.
Right. You're like, same.
In the video the whole time, I'm just like, oh, wow.
That's hard. I was like, Sierra, girl, what is this?
I was giving nothing.
Right. I had a similar experience. Okay, I went on, remember that crazy date I told you guys about?
Yeah.
So I took an Uber home, and I got into an Uber with a guy who was very similar to that, except he was talking about how, like, these types of, like, all these types of women, and it was, first of all, it was, like, all, like, women of color, and so that was really weird without saying that that's what it was.
Right.
And then also he was like, yeah, and women with kids, like, they just want someone to, like, take care of their kids and all this stuff. I'm like,
oh my god,
this is a lot. And I just got out of a situation with a man who is trash, and now I'm in another situation with a man that's trash. It was a lot. Uber drivers, just drive the car.
Just drive. Well, and you know what I'm actually kind of embarrassed about? I was afraid, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and I'm, like, afraid, and this man knows not where I live, but nearby.
Yeah.
So I gave him, like, a 20% tip. Mm. I'm like, should I really have, like, kind of encouraged that? But I don't want this man to, like, come to my house and be like,
and be upset.
Why, like, didn't you give me a tip? Why'd you give me a bad rating?
Right. Give another reason for him to be upset. Like, clearly this gentleman was really going through it and should have been telling a therapist.
Yeah.
Or, like, not working right then. Like, he shouldn't have been driving around. Like,
I was going to say, even you're right about the driving around. Imagine, like, with all that, like, anger.
And he was definitely speeding, like, at some points and, like, slamming on his brakes at red lights.
Emotionally driving. Yeah. That's stressful. I'm so glad you got home safely. Both of you ladies, honestly. This is so tragic.
Yeah, my guy was not, like, he was nice. He was just doing too much.
Yeah.
This episode is not about Ubers.
No.
But it could have been. It could be.
Let's just call this the cold open.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
We just had to get something off our chest.
Yes.
My goodness.
Had a wild, wild night last night.
But today we are, the actual topic at hand, we want to talk about, like, our core memories around body image. Mm-hmm. Like, things that happen to us. You could, as a child, as a teen, as an adult, that, like, really just stuck with us about our body image, our perception of ourselves, our confidence. Mm-hmm. This is so funny going off the Uber stories because that was just
we're taking a left turn.
Yeah, totally.
But we swapped out the candle for some tissues because you were getting emotional just in, like, us kind of talking about what the episode was going to be about.
I know. I think that it's so emotional. Me, I'm not gonna start crying again
probably
right now, but it's a matter of fact that it just, like, still is ongoing. It's like, you, and not the things that I'm gonna talk about today, but it just reminds you that body positivity is just something that you have to work at every single day, and it's not just like, oh, okay, I'm that doesn't affect me anymore. No, like, it's ongoing, and other little things can, like, trigger you to remember. And just thinking about these stories, I was just like, wow, young P was just sad. And that's so sad that, like, you're still having to go through that with, like, other things. And yeah, so anyways, back to you.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I think we each had thought of a couple, and I think we're just going to kind of go from there, because there's, like, this could be an entire podcast series.
Yeah.
Like, someone could start, and I'm sure people have entire podcasts just about this one topic, because
absolutely,
especially as women, it is so ingrained in us from a young age to view our bodies not as, like, a vehicle for our life, for our activities, for our health and our functions, but for others' approval.
Yeah,
right.
You know, and
absolutely.
A lot of the time I view, you know, I look back at things that I thought were normal as a teenager, especially the way I talked about my body, the things that my friends did, like, it seemed so normal then. And then now I look back and I'm like, whoa, that was purely about, like, staying thin, attractive, perceived as good and valuable
yeah.
to men.
Yeah.
Usually. Yeah. You know?
Absolutely.
Like, one of the things I didn't write down, but I remembered when I was thinking about this, when we would go to the mall, me and my friends would hold our breath when we walked past Cinnabon because we thought it smelled too good and we couldn't resist the temptation. We were like 12.
Yeah.
No.
I know. I thought about that because I watched a TikTok about Cinnabon and that memory was like, ding, from the vault. And I was like, oh my. Well, first I just remembered like, oh yeah, we'd always like hold our breath past Cinnabon. I remember that. And I was like, wait, why'd we do that?
You're like, wait a minute. There's something there.
Yeah.
That's really
and
sad.
It wasn't because Cinnabon didn't make us feel good, right, or, you know, we didn't want to spend the money. It was purely like, my body should not get bigger, mm-hmm, than it is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Isn't that weird?
It's weird and it's sad.
It's sad and it was so normal.
Right.
And it breaks my heart even more that knowing that like these things don't just happen like, oh, when you're a teenager, like from young. Like, I know we're gonna cover things that even before that you were like perceiving your body, you're like, oh wow, I didn't even know that I was limiting myself. Yeah.
I didn't even realize it. I didn't even like notice my body.
Yeah.
Until somebody said something, mm-hmm, to me. And I'm like, oh, I guess that's right. I live in this. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Like, yeah. I'm not just like my brain and like my emotions. I have a body that people can see.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Do you guys have like, what's the youngest kind of like core body image memory you have?
Mine is actually my first story. If you want yours.
Yeah.
So this is actually one that I felt like when I was thinking about it, I was like, I feel stupid bringing this up because now it's very trendy and like people desire this. And I was just like, you're just going to sound like so silly bringing this up. But then I was like, you know what? Like, this was my reality as like being a younger girl. And it was the first time that I realized that I wanted to change something about my body that I could not. And it like really took a toll on me. And it was honestly now that I love them so much are my freckles. And like I said, they're now super trendy. And like I see people like drawing them on and I'm like, wow, that's so funny that they're in and so great right now. And like that's just like not what I was thinking when I was younger. And when I was younger, I must have been in first grade. And this boy said to me and he was like, what's that on your face? It looks like poop, like a fly pooped on your face. And funny enough, that was not the only time I heard that that's like poop on your face, like that, like little flies just poop on your face. And that sounds so small. But in that moment, I was just feeling so like, oh my gosh, like there's nothing I can do. And like, I would tell my mom and she's like, oh, but they're cute. Like, you know, when you're older, and I'm obviously not older and don't understand. So, and it was at the time when like when I was growing up a little bit more, like it didn't just go away when I was like in elementary. It just like, it was when Lindsay Lohan was really popular and like in all the movies, like, and I was like, wow, she has freckles. And
lots of freckles.
And I remember my mom saying like, look, she has a lot of freckles and like you love her movies and she's so beautiful. And then I don't even know if this is true, but I remember hearing as a kid that Lindsay Lohan was getting like surgery to get them removed or something. And I was like, genius. So when I'm older, I'm gonna get them removed. Like, I'm totally gonna get the surgery. Like, that's set. I just need to be old enough to get them removed. And I just like beating up myself for these freckles, and I couldn't hide it even more because in Mexico they'd call me pecosa or like freckles and things like that. And it was just a part of my identity. Like, you would refer to me, and they were just something I really, really hated. But I'm so thankful that I grew into myself and realized when I was in high school, like, this makes you unique and you're beautiful and don't change anything about yourself. But in that moment when I was younger, I was like, shish, this really hurts, you know, and I could not change that about myself. So it's just like, it was like written in Sharpie, kind of those moments, like, just like, dang it.
Was there a moment in your teens that you kind of like turned the corner on your feelings about your freckles?
Mm-hmm. And I can't even say what it was. It wasn't like, I saw something or I felt. It was just, I think one day I was looking in the mirror and I was like, you're unique. Who cares? Like, your mom has freckles. Like, this has freckles. And just being more understanding and gentle and kind to myself. It was just that needed to happen, you know? So it wasn't anything like daunting that like was like, oh, that's why I accept my freckles. It was just a slow progress of it. But it was tougher when I was younger. It was just something that I really wanted to get rid of, like really did.
Oh my gosh, I understand that so deeply. I have a freckle on the tip of my nose. Never bothered me, but like it was the same thing. My family would like point it out. It didn't bother me though. But in middle school, a boy started calling me Rudolph because he was like, oh, it's like a, that's like the no, like the freckle on your nose is like Rudolph's light. Like, what are you going to do? Like, go find Santa. Ha ha ha. Doesn't seem like a big deal now, but I went home that night. I didn't understand how like skin worked. And I tried to scratch my freckle off.
Oh, yeah.
Because I thought that the skin would grow back like not freckled.
Right.
So I literally scratched it. Well, and then that made it worse because now I'm coming to school with a red scab on the tip of my nose.
Right.
That made his ridicule worse. But I was really upset when it came back and the scab fell off and there was still a freckle.
Oh, my gosh. That, like, listening to you say that was unlocking the memory of, I remember, because I wasn't allowed to wear makeup yet. So I was like, either I can cover them up or I can, like, when I wash my face, just, like, really, like, microdermabrasion. Like, I was like, how can I exfoliate the hell out of my face to where they're gone? And I just, like, remember, like, trying to clean them off, but they just would not come off. And that's just... that's just so sad that my perspective on that was what affected me and hurt me, you know, because now I still have them, but my perspective has changed. And I felt that way to begin with because I was so young and someone pointed it out and it just kept going, you know.
It is so interesting how as a child, a lot of the times you don't notice things about you until someone else pointed it out.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's like, what would our lives be like if no one ever pointed those things out?
Much better, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And I feel like those things make you look at other things, right?
Yes.
Like somebody says something to you about one thing and you're like, okay, it well, they the noticed this. And I'm like, what else are they looking at? And then you start to like really examine your body and like look at it and criticize it and beat yourself up and try to change things about you and like kind of try to beat people to the punch.
Yes.
Yeah. Right? Be like, oh, I already know about this. So let me get this under control before somebody says something and points it out to me and da-da-da.
Mm-hmm.
Well, while you were talking, I was thinking of a few things that I don't even have written down. And I think I subconsciously didn't write them down because I'm still really insecure about them.
Mm-hmm.
And I was actually thinking right now, I was like, am I going to talk about this? Because I'm still really insecure about it. But I think I should because... I don't know. I just feel called to. So especially middle school just sucks. Like, I don't know how like anybody survives it. Like, it just really, really sucks.
So hard.
And I know it's just because we're all like basically fighting with ourselves. And in turn, that just turns into like fighting with each other.
Mm-hmm. I feel like every like movie about like school drama is about high school. High school was like pretty tame for me.
Yeah.
Middle school. Brutal.
Mm-hmm.
Like bad. And I know it's like we're all going through like all these hormones and we're just like really going through it right now and fine, whatever. But the things that kids would say just about anyone, even about teachers, other students, like it was really crazy. I had this one time in seventh grade, I had this boy. Well, actually, let me back up. So when I was born, I was born fully cross-eyed, like fully, like I couldn't like even see. And so I think I was a handful of weeks old. I went and got surgery on my eyes to correct them so that I could see. And the surgery worked and I wore glasses for a while until I was like, I don't know, 6, 7. I should probably still be wearing glasses, but you know, it's fine. I can see. Everything's fine. But it didn't fully correct them. So one of my eyes is weaker than the other one. So my right eye has to work really, really hard to get my left eye to do the things it needs to do. Which in turn just basically at some times I have like a lazy eye in my left eye, which is fine. But obviously it's not fine when you're in middle school and it's obvious and I can't see myself. So I don't know what my face looks like to everybody else unless I'm looking at myself in a mirror.
Right.
And so fast forward to seventh grade, I was sitting in math class behind this boy that was so cute, but he was so mean. Oh my god, he was so mean, but he was so cute. And so
it's always like that.
It always, especially in middle school, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, I tried to be like, oh yeah, you know, I'm like, I'm a guy's girl, like I'm just like, I'm one of the guys type of vibe. And we were like cool until we weren't, and I don't really know what happened with that. But he was sitting next to this girl that was my friend, and he turned around and looked at me, and then he turned around and looked at her, and he was like, do you know anyone with a lazy eye? And she was like, no, I don't think so. And then he was like, no one? Like, you don't know anybody? Turned around, looked at me, turned around, looked at her. And she was like, I don't know if she just like really didn't know, but she was like, I think maybe my uncle has one, but I don't really know.
Right.
And I was like, oh my God. Like, what am I supposed to
do? Were you like dying on the inside?
Yes. Gosh. I was like, I remember my heart beating so fast. Like, this is about to, and it was like quiet. Like, we were, it was like the bell was about to ring. Like, we were all just hanging out and like everybody was just like listening. And he goes, well, Ryan has one. Look at it right now. And I was like,
oh my God.
Can I go to the bathroom? And I asked to go to the bathroom and I took my stuff and I left and I just cried in the bathroom. And like, I was so, so upset. And I, and it made me more upset because I knew that I couldn't do anything about it. Like, there's nothing I can do. What am I to do right now? And I think about it all the time. I'm thinking about it right now. I mean, obviously I'm talking about it, but I'm never not thinking about it. Mm-hmm. And so to when someone brings attention to it, it like really, really bothers me.
Yeah.
And I don't know how to like, I don't really know how to not let it not affect me, but just like be able to bring myself back afterwards, because it takes me a long time to like recover from it.
Right.
And yeah, like I wasn't even going to talk about that, but I was thinking about middle school and how really rough that was and how much that affected me. And it made me not want to like make eye contact with people or like just like be close enough for anybody to like see me. Now, I mean, like, obviously I make eye contact with people and it's fine. I'm not that, you know, hurt by it, but
it's still there.
Oh, yeah.
And it's, do you feel like after that happened with that boy pointing it out and, you know, making a joke of it, were you worried that at any point someone could point it out?
Oh, my God. Yeah.
And
I was always worried. I was like waiting for it.
Yeah. And so even when no one says anything,
I'm like, everyone's thinking it.
Yeah.
Everybody's thinking about it. Everyone's looking at me, talking to me, and they're like, her eyes are weird. Like, I knew it, and I could just feel it all the time. I still feel that way.
Yeah.
I genuinely do, but, like, I mean, it's
And these
it is.
Words just, like, hurt us and, like, stay with us. It's just...
Well, and let me tell you, that middle school boy, I'm sure, has never thought about that again.
Oh, I'm sure not.
He probably went to lunch and didn't even think about it again.
Right.
Yeah.
And that, still now, what, 15, 16 years later?
Right.
Is affecting you.
Yeah.
And that's why I feel like... It's so important for kids especially to know how much power their words have.
Yeah.
Because he can go on with his life and never think about that, but still it affects you.
Yeah. And I don't even like bring it up to my mom or anything. I remember like not saying anything to her because I didn't want to hear, I didn't want to hear the mom stuff.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
And it's not going to help me. And I just didn't say anything, but I felt a type of way for sure.
Yeah.
Like, for sure. Yeah.
Do you feel like there was a time, like, obviously you said you're still working on it, but that there was a time where you kind of came around to it and stopped constantly feeling like everyone's thinking this, someone's going to bring it up?
It sounds so stupid, but honestly, when I started, like actually dating people, because I always thought that, like, no one's going to want to date me because nobody even, like, I felt there was a lot of reasons why nobody would want to date me, but that was one of those things. And I was like, well, clearly, like, they don't really care, I guess.
Yeah.
Or they don't say anything. So, which it shouldn't have come from other people, but it did. And so I feel less, you know, I don't know the word, like less insecure about it because I guess people still want to date me. So it's like, fine.
Right.
But yeah. So when I started like dating, I was like, okay. Not everybody's like put off by this.
Right.
It was like a, they're okay with me. So maybe I can also be okay with me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh my God, you poor
son. I know. I'm
biting my, holding my tears back, girl. But love you.
Yeah.
Love you.
I do love you, and I just think you're so beautiful.
Thank
and
you.
I want to go beat up that middle school
boy. I know. We should.
I swear to God.
I know.
See you in the streets.
I know his name. I'll look him up on Instagram.
Oh, all right. All right.
After the show, I need to see what he's doing now.
Actually, yeah, let's do that.
Podcast, comment below if you want to see Paloma, Sierra, and Ryan beat up a middle school boy.
Why, you oughta.
You want to tussle?
Yeah, right.
Brian, or whatever your name is.
Oh, God.
Oh, these boys in middle school ruined
us. Ruthless.
Yeah, they really were.
Gosh,
you know, that's my first one. My youngest memory that I was going to talk about today was also about a middle school boy.
Mm.
And again, a very small, simple comment that I don't think about it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think I stopped hearing that in my head until I was about 19.
Mm-hmm.
I was wearing my new cute little shirt from PacSun, like seventh grade.
Right.
It was white. It had little pink spots on it, like little tie-dyes. It was so cute.
Yes, cute.
I know, right? tucked into my, or not tucked in, but like, you know, laid over the way you did right. on like yep. the Hollister shorts.
Yes.
And I felt so cute in it. And I like got dressed that morning. I was so excited to like wear my new shirt that like my mom and I had bought over the weekend. And before school even started, like just walking in, you know, and everyone would kind of like hang out in the quad before. Mm-hmm. One of my friends, like not a bully, not someone I didn't know, like my friends came, actually a boy I dated later on, came, okay. I know, which is problematic in its own right.
Right.
came up to me and said, you look like you have a beer belly in that shirt. And it was that phrase, like beer belly, that I don't know why, like just really cut me, because first of all I was like 12 or 13. I was not
right.
drinking,
right,
but you know, I had that perception of what that meant, and I already was very insecure about my size, even though I was a pretty average sized kid. I gained more weight later in my life, but at that time I was pretty average.
Yeah.
But I still had that deep-seated insecurity of being big is wrong, right? Mm-hmm. And especially a beer belly.
Right.
Right.
Bad.
Right. The connotation that just was...
Yeah, and I think I just laughed it off and mm-hmm. did not say anything, but I went to my PE locker and I changed. I wore my PE shirt all day instead of my cute little PacSun shirt, because I was like, no one else can say this. And
yeah,
I don't think I wore that shirt again. I know. And I still remember. It was a V-neck and pink little spots. But I would get dressed in the morning, and most mornings I would look in the mirror and I would try to stick my stomach out as far as I could to see if it looked like I had a beer belly. And like that, I don't know why, that just lived in my head for so long, even up till I was like 18, 19, getting dressed and like sticking my stomach out as far as I could to see if someone could say I had a beer belly, which is like so odd. So but again, that boy never thought about that. And
right.
it took me getting into YouTube is when I really started like following other fashion bloggers, which then led me to like body positive bloggers mm-hmm. and being like, oh, this is like people can just not hate themselves.
Right.
Crazy concept. Right. Yeah. Right. But even just that simple as like being afraid that I had like a stomach pouch, of seeing people who did and were unapologetic about it, mm-hmm. that it wasn't something to hide or suck in or change. It just was.
Yeah.
And so even if I did look like I had a beer belly, who cares?
Yeah.
And that was like a huge, huge wake up call for me. And I haven't thought about that story until now.
Yeah. That cuts deep, because yeah. I feel like middle schoolers will just say anything to even maybe not even hurt you intentionally, but like get like the approval of the people around yeah. them. Like, oh, we're all going to do this thing to this person, and we're all going to be there together.
And it's also a deflection technique of
yeah.
let's pick someone's going to be the punching bag of the group today.
Yep.
And I have to make sure it's not me.
Yeah.
Right.
So who's it going to be?
Mm-hmm.
And I think back to middle school, and I feel a lot of regret that when it was one of my friends that was the punching bag, I didn't say anything because I was afraid that then it would turn on me.
Right. Yeah. Yep. You can't speak up, because yep. then all of a sudden, then it's your turn.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
So even though I feel like it was very much the boys in our friend group who did that, like I wasn't participating.
Yeah.
I kind of was, by not saying anything.
Yeah.
And being low key glad that it wasn't me yeah. on the chopping block today.
Yeah.
Question.
That is so real.
Is there a, like, I'm sensing a pattern from just the two stories you told. You guys are there having a good or okay time, and someone looks at you and goes, that girl looks too happy. She's too happy in her PacSun. I might be reading into it.
Yep.
But think about it for a minute. Does that, especially yeah. when you were passively participating, non-participating, was it someone who was having a good time enjoying themselves as they were? So I feel like
it was sometimes that, but I think more so it was like, let's find one thing that's different about someone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it was always like trying to find anything different that they could
latch on to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Because I mean, the thing in middle school, right, is to fit in. Everybody wearing the same, mm-hmm. same style, same thing. Everyone has their hair the same way. Like, unless you can really pull something off and like everyone knows. Well, actually, no. Because you think about the kids who like had different styles, or even if it was cultural differences or anything like that, were annihilated.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And everyone was like, well, they're just like weird.
Yep.
Being different. Yeah. Being different in middle school. The worst. Yeah. The worst thing ever. Yeah. And it's just, we are all, like Ryan said, we are all going through so much hormonally and emotionally. And it's just, we're trying to keep our head above water and not mm-hmm. be the next victim because, yeah. you know?
Y'all, I think every middle schooler should just be forced to sit through Shrek the Musical and hear that which makes us different makes us strong.
Yep.
Yep. Because I think they could benefit.
I fully agree. I fully, fully agree. I like my brother is going to be a high schooler this year. My sister's in eighth grade. So they were both, you know, in middle school. They're like pretty nice kids. Like, I don't really hear them saying anything, but I hear like what my sister says about herself. This morning she was like putting her makeup on and she was like, I wish my eyebrows like were fuller in the front. I was like, what? What? Like she was like looking at herself, like
analyzing,
doing like, you know, the whole thing. And she yeah. was like, I wish that like my eyebrow. And I was like, oh god.
How
like,
old is your sister again?
13.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, this is prime time yep. for you to really be feeling all that.
Poor thing.
And here I am. I'm like, okay, what do I say that's not like mom? Like, oh, you're perfect and beautiful. Like, that's not, she's not going to listen to me and she doesn't care. And so what do I say? I'm like, well, if you really want that, like you can fill your eyebrows in and you can fill it if that's what you want. But also like, have you seen the trans girl? I'm like, everybody's doing the feathered brow, blah, 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 this and that. And also like, they're just eyebrows and you have a great face.
I said, everybody wants response. Your eyebrows. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. If you want.
Yeah.
If you
Give
want.
Give the option. If you want, this here's something.
Rather than like, well, Don't maybe change. You should.
Yeah. 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 Or that too. Yeah. And so she was just like, okay. And she was like, well, your eyebrows don't do that. And I was like, I wish they did. But also they don't. And that's okay. And I work with what I got. And yep.
They're my
and
eyebrows, not mm-hmm. your eyebrows.
Yep. Yeah. And she was like, okay. She kind of walked away. And I was like, geez, I mean, I hope I said the right thing. Because yeah. I'm not trying to, you know, affect her in a yeah. negative way, you know, by just trying to help her. You yeah. know what I mean? Because yeah. I feel like that happens too sometimes when you're like, oh, you know, you're not, it's fine, you're perfect, you're not this, you're not that, but it actually doesn't actually help.
It yeah.
does. It
yeah.
maybe sometimes makes it worse.
Yeah. So what do we think actually helps?
Hearing that they understand what you're going through.
Validating. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. like it's okay to be upset by
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
yes. That's really hurtful.
Me telling my mom that I'm getting bullied about having freckles and they call me this and they say this and I don't, and I want to change this and I can't. I feel like her, rather than being like, no, they're wrong, they're cute. Like her just telling me that didn't do anything. I feel right. like it'd be better if she'd have been like, I understand that that it's different and not everyone has freckles and that must be so frustrating. Like, I'd be like, yeah, tea, yeah, yeah. you know? I yeah. think that might be it.
Yeah, to just, like, allow the space to be upset about it, like you mm-hmm. said. And then, I don't know the solutions.
But maybe for freckles, offer a but solution.
Like, it'd be like, if you really are having a hard time and you want to do this, maybe you can try this thing. Mm-hmm. But just know that, like, everybody's got something and, like, yours is just visible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's so good.
Ooh, we're going to wrap it up with that one because yeah. that is something.
Everybody has something and yours just might be visible and mm-hmm. theirs isn't right now.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe you just don't notice it.
Yep. Yeah. Right.
Yep.
I think one of the things that helped me a lot is when my mom would share about like her insecurities from my same age, mm-hmm. you know, being like, when I was your age, I was very insecure about this thing. And I realized that, you know, why she shouldn't be insecure about it or how she learned to accept it.
Yeah.
Or even just a solution to, you know, feel better about it. And I right. think that helped a lot because I was like, oh, my mom felt the same way and she's over here living her life. So right. like, I'll probably be okay.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Definitely. I feel like seeing your mom and having those conversations where she's explaining herself to you is helpful. Mm-hmm. Maybe not in that moment.
Yes.
And I feel like maybe, obviously I'm not a mom, but doing that, not in the moment where they're explaining to you their issues.
Not centering it on yourself.
Yeah. yeah. And because I feel like it almost is like, well, you're just telling me this because you're trying to help me get over this instead of it coming up in conversation naturally other times, yeah. maybe.
Or maybe giving them the opportunity to ask if they want, just to be like, I've gone through similar things and leave it at that.
Yeah.
And then if they say, well, what do you have to be insecure about? Or what was right. that? Mm-hmm. Let them kind of lead.
Mm-hmm.
P, you got another one?
I do, and it's unfortunately from middle school again.
No.
It was.
I am sensing a theme.
Right.
It's, and I actually was aware of it before I got to middle school, so that's awesome that I, like, I'm, like, trying to think how old I was. I was, like, 12 or so. Like, I wasn't even a teenager. And I, blessed from the thick Latina hair on my arms and my legs, And I just started remembering we were like about to get to middle school. And there were some girls already saying like, oh, well, my mom's like letting me shave my legs during middle school. And I was like, okay. Is that what we're doing? That's great, because I'm already really insecure because I had some kid like in elementary be like, oh, look at your arms. They're like gorillas. And I just can't unhear him. And he wasn't even being mean. Like, you know, he was just really.
Right.
That's what he thought. And he just said it. And I never felt so bad about my body.
Right.
Until that moment. And I was just like, okay. So when I realized, okay, what we're doing is we're going to be able to shave our legs. I was like, okay, great. I'm going to tell my mom. So I'm like, okay, mom. So. You already know that because I was very open about it, because like I would come home crying about my arms all the time, and just like, and she would be like, Paloma, like, it's just your hair. Like, again, like, yes, you're right, mom, you were right, it was just my hair, and I'm gonna love myself, but not yet.
Right. Right.
And so I was like, am I allowed to shave my legs and like do this stuff, like Stacy's gonna do it, like, please. And she was like, Paloma, honestly, like, it's not worth it. Once you start shaving, it gets prickly and it's such a hassle. Like, look at, like, I don't even want to shave nowadays. And I'm like, no, I hear you, but I want to shave my legs right now. She was like, no, I don't think so. Maybe let's revisit this later. I just don't think you're ready. I'm like, okay, all right. Well, so I took it into my own hands because I didn't want to go.
Naturally,
because I was not only stressed about it already, but I knew other people were going to be shaving their legs. So I too wanted to, like, I was like, oh my gosh, if anybody needs it, it's me, help. So we went, I remember going on vacation before, like during summer break before we went to middle school, and we were at my cousin's house, and I was like, I was showering like after the pool, and I saw a razor, and I was like, what if I shave my legs so I can just like, let's do this. So there I am shaving my legs, doing the thing. And I cut myself so badly on the, you know, the knee part. Yes. Just like that sweet tender spot where you still mess it up nowadays.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I cut myself like deep, you guys. Like I, God help me.
Do you have a scar? So,
I honestly did have a scar for a long time. And let me look again, because I really did have a scar for a long time.
The emotional scars, for sure.
Oh, right.
For sure. Physical scar.
Those are there. And so instead, I was like dabbing up the blood and like cleaning myself up to the point where my mom ended up knocking on the door like, hey, are you okay? Like, you've been in there a long time. And I'm like, yeah, I'm okay. Like, there's blood everywhere. I'm dabbing and dabbing. So I'm like, oh my gosh, my mom's going to want to see my leg after this. Like, God, pray for me. So I get out of the shower and she's like, what happened? And I lied. And I remember this was one of the first times I had ever lied to my mother. And so it really, really like hurt. It was even more deep. And I was like, no, I hurt myself on the corner. You saw how his bed is like really low. Like when I stepped out of the shower, like I hit myself and all this stuff.
Elaborate.
Yeah. No, oh, I was giving elaborate. And I was like, you know, the wood, it's like the dog's been biting on it so sharp. Like,
oh,
I,
my God. No,
she wanted to get away with this.
Right.
And then she like was like, okay, well, let me help you. Like grabs my leg. And it's like, Did you shave? So she then grabs my other leg. She's like, right. But why only one?
Right.
And I'm like, oh my God. And my response was, because I didn't have enough time.
Oh my God.
And she was like, and in that moment, like, I was like crying and just was like, Mom, I'm so sorry I lied to you. Like, I just feel so insecure. And like, the girls at school, and like, in that moment, my mom saw me as a person and was like, you poor little thing. And I remember her being like, okay, look, girlfriend, when we get back home, we will look into some products or something that can help you to make you feel more comfortable going in and confident. And I was like, thank you so much. But also, like, in retrospect, I'm like, first of all, like, my mom wasn't going to notice, and like, it wasn't going to grow back before school started in 2 weeks. Like,
right. What was I thinking? Well, you know, but
kids are dumb. That's so, so special that your mom like really saw you in that moment, because I think it could have been very easy as a parent to go the route of, you disobeyed me, you went behind my back, you lied, you hurt yourself, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
And instead to be like, to see the hurt and the reason that you did that is so powerful.
Yeah.
And I'm so, like, seriously, you guys, I'm so thankful that happened, because she probably saw like, oh my gosh, my daughter's like ending up hurt because she has to go behind my back to do this. And that's not something she ever wanted, was like me right. going behind her back. So she was like, no, like this is clearly not because, oh, you just want to shave your legs. Like you are emotionally really hurting about this.
Yeah.
So then what ended up happening was I was like shaving my arms and legs through middle school. And then unfortunately that was not good because then the boys would be like, ew, you're so prickly. Like I'm just walking by them and they can obviously feel my arm. Oh my, Paloma, your arms, you guys come feel, her arms feel, and I'm like,
no,
oh,
kill me.
Not the you guys.
Literally oh my kill me.
Gosh. Yeah.
No.
Because who else is shaving their arms in like sixth grade but me? So, you know, and I was like, this was before Nair existed. So like the whole, it was just like, you guys. But luckily, again, like leaving middle school, I like stopped. I didn't stop shaving them because of prickliness. I was definitely prickly for years. But then I finally was like, the hassle of it was just so much. And I was in high school and I was like, I am doing okay. Like I have a boy, like in my mind, I was like, oh, I have a boyfriend. Like I'm really okay. Like it's fine. So like I let my arm hair grow out. And then he said, oh my gosh, you have really hairy arms. Like I'd never noticed.
Oh my God.
And I was like, the saga. And in high school, like I was like 17, 18. And I was still like, oh,
that's still in your head.
Never gonna end.
Right.
And, but then I started just embracing more of myself, like I said, and just being like, that's what makes me unique. But I think truthfully, what really, really made me accept it was I was in Mexico and was like, commented about her arms. And a lot of Latinas have, again, the Latina thick, long arm hair. Y'all can relate. And they're just like, oh, you, oh, girl, you have thick Latina arm hair. And I felt like a sense of like acceptance. And I was like, oh my gosh, like you guys do too. And they were like, oh, and I was also struggling with, this is a whole other topic of not feeling Latina enough. And in that moment, I was like, oh my gosh, this verifies that I am Latina and I feel accepted. And so I think that that's what got me through and embracing it and loving myself for who I was, because that made me Latina and who I wanted to be. And so I think that really was it. But that's, you know, that's not what should have been.
Yeah.
What made but me I, okay I think with it.
It. Whatever it takes to get us there. Yeah. Right? Like it's not always just going to happen on its own. And I think it is so special that like, that was kind of the intersection of not only you feeling like you are connected to your culture and your family, but also that, like, I now like this part about myself because I see other people who have it too, and I want to be part of this.
This
is a physical sign that, look, I'm like you.
Yes. Yeah.
And
yes.
That's so powerful.
So powerful. Wow. It was like, I was like, oh my God, you guys, I really am a part of you guys. I really am.
Yeah.
So it's just, and now I and when I say that, I'm like, yes, girl. Like, I wouldn't change. I would not change that about me, you know?
It's so interesting, too, that both of the stories you've shared come back to what made you accept it is representation. That you saw Lindsay Lohan with her freckles.
I was literally going to say that.
And you saw your family and you saw, you know, your Latina heritage and were like, oh, I'm like that.
Yeah. Representation matters.
I was literally, that was coming out right this whole thing. I was just thinking that. I was like, that's why it's so important, because people are like, well, you don't have to see yourself. I'm like,
you do.
You do. Because everyone and everything is telling me that who I am and what I have and what is going on is not it. Mm-hmm. And if I don't see anybody, what makes you think I'm just going to be secure in myself?
Right.
What, like, why would you just automatically assume that?
How can you expect young girls to view themselves as beautiful and vibrant and confident when the standard they're being held to is just this one cookie cutter whitewashed look?
Yeah. And you're and how do you expect them to feel beautiful if you are only calling this specific group of people beautiful and no one else?
Yep. Oof. We had to take a quick bathroom break. But while we weren't rolling, Jess was like, you know what? I'm realizing behind every strong woman is a bland ass middle school boy who made her feel self-conscious.
Yep.
Jeez.
And that needs to be on a t-shirt.
Yes, please. It does.
Like,
if you're a middle school boy listening, please.
I don't think we have many middle school boys.
I know, but if you know a middle school boy,
tell him to be nice. Tell him to be
nice. Tell him to be nice.
Yeah.
Listen, your words have an impact. Let them be positive rather than negative. My gosh.
Yeah.
We do.
Anyways.
Do you have another one?
I do. This is high school.
Oh, moving up.
So, moving up. It never ends.
Guys. Didn't get easier, but here we go.
I grew up, you know, in San Diego. We all did. Predominantly white, and or other, but like just not a lot of black people. Like my family, we like to call them sprinkles, because it's just a little, right? It's just like a little on top. So there were only a few sprinkles in my high school, and what actually we had the most black people out of all the high schools in the district, and it was still like literally this much. Sad. Anyway, growing up in a predominantly white area, just from elementary to high school, I already knew that I was like, okay, she's black, got it. Mm-hmm. Everyone else isn't, that's fine, it's okay. I got used to that, and then high school rolled around and I was with more black kids. But the thing is, there was always more black boys than there were black girls. Like, there was probably, like, three black girls and probably, like, eight black guys. If all of us grew up in predominantly white areas, they mostly date white girls. Mm-hmm. But because of that, that caused a lot of distance between the black girls and the black guys. Like, mm-hmm. we were, like, friends, but not really. And when it came down to, like, dating and stuff, when everybody was dating in high school, the black girls never did. Like, there was nobody for us, because white boys didn't date us, black boys didn't date us, no one, and everybody else in between. Like, that was like not a thing. But what the black boys specifically would say to us, well, and not even to all of us, to some of us, they'd be like, well, you're cute for a black girl.
Oh my gosh.
Like, you're cute even though you're dark skinned. Like that, and I was like, what does that even mean? But I started to like understand what that meant, and I was like, and I took that as a compliment. Like, I was like, yeah,
right,
couldn't be so and so over there, because, you know, whatever, problematic. But I didn't realize, one, how hurtful that is to the other black girls in our like circle. That one's going to come to me, oh, yeah, you're cute for a black girl. Mm-hmm. Didn't realize how much that would hurt all of us, but also the girls that they weren't saying that to.
Right.
And I didn't realize what they were actually saying.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Like, you're not calling me pretty.
No. You're saying you don't fit the beauty standard that I think everyone should.
Mm-hmm.
But you're cute.
Yeah.
And that, like, it's so awful when, especially if you think about, like, what if they changed, even though to and instead of like you're cute for a black girl,
right?
You're cute and
right,
you have dark skin, like that's right. Part of the what makes you cute,
right?
Not a detractor.
Yeah And it was so like, it was like a double-edged sword, right? Because obviously when you're younger and you're just looking for boy approval, like almost anything is everything.
Yeah.
So okay, let's just cut out the last part. I didn't hear the last part, but you called me pretty, so we're good.
I'll take it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And I'll run with that, and I love that for me. But what that does is only make me not want to be black or not want to be dark-skinned, because I'm like, okay, if I wasn't, then there right. might be something going on here, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. we could do a thing. And it just, and I always remember just being like, if I was, I always thought this, and less as I got older, but more just like, okay, if I was like white, I feel like this would just be a lot easier for me, and which life would be easier. But it was so like, it became like my driving force when I would be around boys. Like, I would try so hard to like, and this is so stupid because I can't do anything, but I would try so hard to not be like so black.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
what the hell does that
right. what does that am even I even saying?
Yeah. Like, but I would try so hard because I just didn't want, I didn't want there to be a way for you to say something but be like, but this,
yeah,
but that. And it was so hard, obviously, because I can't do anything about it. And it just made me like, it made me, and that was another one of those things I was saying before. Like, I was like, who's going to date me? Like,
yeah.
Who's going to fall in love with me? And I was like super boy crazy. So I loved everybody. And I was like, cool, it's going to be like this forever. I love that. That's really awesome. And I also remember being like, I wish that I grew up like where there was literally like predominantly black, because then I might would be able to like have a relationship or like do a thing and like feel fine. But obviously that wasn't my reality. But it just became so like, ingrained in everything. And I was like, well, that's why I don't have a boyfriend. That's why no one asks me this. That's why no one does anything, because of this, this, and that. And I'm just too dark and all of this stuff. Like, and I would like hate when summer was coming, because I was like, she's about to get darker, y'all. Like, it's summer. And everyone's like, can't wait to get tan. And I'm like, oh, God. Well, you, how come you can get darker? Right.
And
I can't.
And
like,
it's good when a white girl gets darker.
Right.
But if you do, then that's something that you have to try to avoid.
Right. Because people are going to talk about it. Do like, you, I can't even do anything.
Do you feel like through that, through the boys kind of saying, you know, trying to divide you and your black girlfriends, did that make it harder for you to be close with the other black girls at your school?
Yeah.
Because you felt like you're
competition competing? Yeah.
Yes.
And
yes.
you have to prove that you're different.
Yes. Them. And it was hard because I felt conflicted. Like, I was like, sorry, y'all. Like, the boys want, I'm so, I don't make the rules, girls. Yeah. Like, yeah. I'm so sorry. But also, I needed them.
Yeah.
I needed them in my corner, but it was so hard because I was like, yeah, but I also need boys.
Yeah.
And I wasn't even getting the boys at the end of the day. Like, that isn't even like what it was. It wasn't like them or my friends. It was always my friends, and it was like sometimes attention from a boy for 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But that was like,
but that was good enough. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Sick.
Yeah, that is like, when, how long did it take you to realize, like, whoa, let's rewind that. That was fucked up.
Yeah. Honestly, when I got out of middle school.
Yeah.
And I went to community college. And again, I mean, this is like so stupid, but when I started like dating people and like dating non-black people or black people, like, no one said anything or made those comments, and I really thought that like everybody felt that way. Mm-hmm. Like, I really thought everyone felt that way, and I guess I thought they felt that way, but also knew they didn't, because I was like, well, I can see my mom and all of my family like dates whoever and they're married or whatever. Like, it's obviously it's fine, but for me, I guess it's not, and I couldn't figure out why. But then, you know, I graduated high school and I was like, oh no, like, that was just,
and it's so hard to see it when you're in it.
Yeah,
you know? It is.
And like, when you're in elementary, middle, high school, you're like, I don't see the light. How am I gonna get out of this?
Yeah,
like, what can I do to change myself, to help myself? Because if it's tough now, I'm at, and like, I think that that's also the perception, like, if it's so tough now, like, it's got to be like that's like when I graduate, like, in the real world, it's got to be the same.
Yeah. And if it's a constant reminder, like, there's no way for you to escape it.
Yeah. When you look at the real world outside of your middle school or high school, and it's a microcosm of what's going on in the real world.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Like, in the media, in Hollywood, those same things are happening,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so you're not able to have the perspective and go, my whole life won't be like this, because for right now, it is.
And who's to say that it's not going to still be like that?
Right. Yeah.
We have to see when we get there. And like, at that point too, there weren't a lot of like Cynthia Erivo's, there weren't like a lot of Lupita's, like, there was like not a lot of dark skin like black women in media that also weren't perceived as like a bitch or like something like crazy, right? Like, just these beautiful women doing their thing, like being amazing and perfect. And I didn't have that.
Yeah.
And so that wasn't like, I didn't have anybody to like look at and be like, okay,
here's a leading lady who looks like me. Mm-hmm. Right. It was, if there is someone on screen who looks like you, they're the punchline.
Yes.
Yeah. And so how can you feel like you can be this beautiful, amazing woman that you are when all you're seeing is people who don't look like you who are in those roles?
Mm-hmm.
Who was your first like leading lady, the first person you saw and went, that? Me, that, like, I feel represented. Like, did you have like a moment?
I didn't have anyone that I was like, definitely, like, that's it. But the closest that I can remember was probably Raven.
Yeah.
You know, like, I was like, okay, here we go. Yeah. This is it. But I didn't realize that that's what it was until I was a little bit older. Mm-hmm. I was still watching That's a Raven, but I didn't realize how much it impacted me and how much it meant to me that she was on screen and she was the focus and she was like, she was the lead.
Yeah.
And the whole series wasn't about her blackness. Like, yeah, obviously her whole family's black and they touched on things, which obviously is amazing and perfect and great. Keep it up. But that wasn't the point of the show.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right.
It was just her being herself, also being like goofy and loud and crazy, which is something that I definitely was/am now. And also her going through her like body conscious moments. I was like, this is really crazy.
That show did so much for my body image. I could probably quote that episode where, remember when she like walks out on the runway?
Yes.
That meant so much to me.
Yeah.
Of being like, oh my gosh, I could be confident even though I'm not going to look like, you know, all the other Disney Channel girlies. Mm-hmm. And it's crazy to think about just how ahead of its time that show was. Really.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Do you remember that episode they did with Raven, like, dressed up as that guy because that woman wasn't hiring her and hired Chelsea because she was, like, super racist or whatever?
And they said in the Disney Channel show, like, oh, we won't hire her because she's black.
Yes.
And the fact that they said, like, I feel like
that's pretty huge.
That was like,
I feel like they might not even say that now on Disney Channel.
You know, I don't think so. That was like, I remember being like, whoa. Like, and then also being like, this happens in real life. I see that this is like Raven, like, haha, this is like kind of funny too because Chelsea's an idiot and like, why would she get a job?
Yeah.
But like, this is like real. Mm-hmm. Like, this happens.
Yeah.
Oof. And like the girl that worked there was like such a Karen.
Yes. She was a Karen before there were Karens.
Yes.
The original.
Yeah.
I think I really want to see more shows like That's So Raven today. I don't know. I don't really know what's on Disney Channel nowadays. So like, who knows? But I just feel like that show, even as like a white girl, meant so much to me from like the body angle, and to then have like the added factor of race and to see that must be so powerful.
Yeah. It was good. And I'm so glad that, like, that was a show that my parents, like, let me watch. Because, you know, like, she was psychic and it's kind of like, you know, like, it could have been a little dicey. But I think because it was actually funny, like, it holds up. I've watched it now.
Funny.
It's funny.
My parents, like, that was one of the shows that, like, if I was watching it, like, they'd sit down with me and be like, oh, That's So Raven.
Yep.
Whereas, like, most of the other shows, they're like,
this is
tragic.
Me too. That was such, like, the show that we would all watch. And I got my brother. We had this thing that we, you know, the theme song, right? And then right at the end, my brother and I would have a competition who could get to the front of the TV first and be like, yep, that's me. Yes. Oh, That's So Raven. We love you. I got to rewatch that on Disney Plus.
Please. It's so good. Raven, we love you. Be on the podcast.
Yeah, please.
Please.
That show holds up. I think also, you know what else holds up is Drake and Josh.
Love,
I rewatched
that
a couple episodes of Drake and Josh, and I was
seen
like,
it in a while.
It's like actually still pretty funny.
Really? Yep. Because I've been rewatching too.
I think they're like their comedic back and forth works.
Oh, I remember it being really funny, but I haven't watched it recently.
Yeah.
Hug me, brother.
I do remember that, of course.
And seeing Meg, like, obviously now, like, developing into this older Miranda Cosgrove.
Yes.
Like, everyone, like, just remembers from iCarly, but rewatching them, I was like, oh my gosh, look at little Miranda Cosgrove.
I know. And iCarly, the reboot.
Yes, I watched the first season.
Wait,
but
there's a reboot?
Girl, Paloma, where have you been?
Stop. No, there's an iCarly reboot?
I think the way they did this reboot is actually the way every childhood show reboot should be done, because they aged it up.
So, I love that, and I'm going to watch it. I didn't know. Is it on Disney Plus?
Spencer's in it. No, not Disney. It's not Disney, girl.
Paramount.
Oh, Nickelodeon.
Yeah. Paramount. Paramount.
I'll give you my login.
Please. Yeah. Thank you.
Yes.
But, yeah, like, Spencer's in it, and Freddie and Carly. No, Sam.
Yeah.
Because she had, like, a lot of issues with the show.
Yeah.
But they, like, aged up the comedy, where it's, like, clearly made for the people who watched it as kids.
And I think they curse a little.
They do.
I love that. And
they
make
sex jokes. And
stop it. Oh, my. Okay, I'm totally adding that to my watch list. And I loved Spencer back then. I can't imagine, like, now. I'm hoping he's all older, and I hope he's more unhinged.
Oh, really?
Mm-mm.
Okay, my favorite.
I know it's around, but I haven't seen it.
My favorite is, like, where Freddie is now. He got divorced and is like just a total simp, like exactly what you would expect.
God.
And he's like just still so like hung up on his ex, but he has like a stepdaughter who he's like raising, but she like, you
is
know,
she
runs
the little black girl.
Yes.
Okay. I've seen like the poster.
Yes.
So one of the writers and co-producer, check her out on Instagram. Her name's Francesca Ramsey. She's incredible.
Yes. I love her.
I'm obsessed with her, but also to fill the void of the Sam character, they brought in this really wonderful actress named Lacey Mosley.
She's so
funny. And then
the
show, when people were being incredibly racist about it, went to bat for her because they were like, not today.
I love
it. And we love, and you should check it out. It's honestly, it's a great series.
We will be watching.
Yeah, it's so good.
All right, we're watching it at home.
Why can't, I don't even know why.
Why can't people just not be racist?
Yeah, is it really so hard? It's so...
The new Star Wars show that came
out. Oh my God. First of all, incredible. Star Wars is like cool and I don't have anything against it.
Not ruin it for me because next.
I'm not. I don't really understand. Like, it's whatever. Like, I'll sit there and watch it. It's fine. But I watched the Obi-Wan series and I was like, first of all, incredible. Just so well done.
Yep.
I'm so excited.
I'm so glad you loved it.
The main girl.
Reva.
Yes.
Amazing.
Black woman. So, so good. And I heard how terrible people were being about it.
And a lot of people tried to hide behind her character's annoying. It's like, that's literally the point. That's part of her character. That's not like a flaw. Jeez. Like, that's not the actor's fault. The character was supposed to be so hell-bent on getting the thing she wanted, because I'm not going to spoil it.
Right.
That she was just tunnel vision. And that was part of it. And the twist in the last episode with her.
No, it was crazy.
So good. And her acting.
Incredible.
And it's just
say you're racist.
Why is it so hard to not be racist?
I don't know. I think about that with the remake of Little Mermaid.
Yes.
They're like, it's not realistic. I'm like, okay, mermaids aren't real. Yep. So sorry if you think that mermaids are real, viewers. They're not. And so it doesn't matter.
If you're outraged about that, you better be outraged that an actual crab is not playing Sebastian.
Agree. Right. Yeah, if that's what we're going to do here, then do it. You don't get to pick and choose.
Realistic casting. I would like a real crustacean for Sebastian.
Yep.
I want a real crustacean.
No, seriously. I want a half woman, half, what is she, octopus?
Octopus, yeah. Yep.
Real.
Yep.
I want it.
Otherwise, cancel the whole movie.
Yeah. It's just, it's a vehicle for people to be able to express their racist beliefs without feeling bad about it.
Yep.
Yep.
Ugly.
Ugly, ugly, ugly.
Anyways.
And it all starts in middle school.
Yeah. Unfortunately, before that, all starts just from the beginning of time.
Yep.
Anywho.
Yeah.
Sierra, take it away.
Okay. So my next one, when I was getting ready to go to college, I had a lot of insecurity about my body and I wanted to lose weight. I had a specific number that I wanted to lose that had been the number in my head for like my whole teenage years of like, this is what I want to lose. I want to lose this. And I realized after buying a fitness influencer's workout program that I could lose that amount of weight by college if I lost like a certain amount of pounds per week and I started right now. Mm-hmm. So I was like, what if I just did this? What if I just dedicated my summer to doing this so that I went to college and I felt like I'm who I want to be?
Right.
And I was like, I'm just going to do it. That's what my whole summer before college is going to be about, is losing the weight.
You poor thing.
But I thought, this is the key. And I thought I was doing it in a healthy way because I was like, I'm not starving myself. I convinced myself that, and I was all about my fitness pal.
Same.
Yep.
Chokehold.
I could not eat anything, like even a single cracker off the counter.
No, I had to put it on the thing.
Yep, without putting it in.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was all about my fitness pal. I was doing two-a-day workouts. I did it. I lost the weight that I wanted to lose. I was ready to go to college. And this was not about health at all. I was, like I said, pretty average. But I went to college feeling like this is the version of me I want to present to all these new people I'm meeting. Mm-hmm. But I realized I had actually never been more insecure in my life than in my quote unquote new body. Mm. I had focused so much on losing this weight, fixing all of my problems, my mental health, my confidence, my love life, like everything was going to be fixed, especially acting as like a theater major. Mm-hmm. I was like, I will be able to get cast in the roles I want to get cast as. I will no longer be like the funny friend.
Yeah.
And I didn't. I was so much more insecure. I didn't even want to audition. I didn't even want to go places. I didn't even want to wear the clothes I wanted to wear because I was so hyper fixated on my body.
Yeah.
I had never been more aware of every crack and flaw and lump and bump. And so even though I now was able to wear the clothes that I wanted to wear, that I had gone and bought them because I had now earned the right to wear a crop top, mm-hmm. I couldn't even bring myself to put it on. Oh. And I remember specifically going to Sorority Rush and I had, my outfit all planned out and I was so excited that I could wear this dress that I had bought in a size too small as like motivation.
Mm.
And I put the dress on and it was actually loose. Like I had lost more weight at that point.
Oh my gosh.
But I took it off. I hated it. I was like, because then I just saw everything else that was wrong. Mm. Well, my arms look this way. Well, my shoulders look this way. Well, my face looks this way. And I felt really, really unsatisfied. And it wasn't, and I just kind of lived in that for a while. Like, there was no solution. There was no, like, you know, what do I do now? It was just keep working out twice a day. Just keep tracking everything on MyFitnessPal. And then I found YouTube. And that's when I really found this, like, body positive movement of people that were unapologetically themselves. And I started realizing, like, what if I just was happy with the way that I looked? And what if I didn't have to change anything? And when I stopped working out that much and, you know, tracking everything, I gained a lot of the weight back. But I felt so much better. Mm-hmm. I felt like I could just wear a sports bra and go on a hike.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because I wasn't thinking about my stomach. And it was so freeing.
Does that make your journey in making the sustainable crop tops we just launched even more cathartic? Because I didn't realize that.
And I didn't realize that either.
That makes me really proud of you.
Yeah, that's something I probably wouldn't have worn when I was at the goal weight.
Right.
Because it was too much.
Right.
Yeah. And I dressed more conservatively then than I do now. And not because I wanted to, but because I felt like I had to fix everything else before I could show it.
Right. At what point, I know you said like it was like YouTube that kind of helped you through that journey, but was there like a moment where you were like, I don't have to wait to wear this. I can just wear this.
Yeah, honestly, it's a story I've told. I think I told it on the podcast too, so I'll just kind of keep it brief. But someone in my family told me I needed to lose weight before my wedding and showed me a Facetuned photo of me when I was at that smallest weight. And and I mean, the photo wasn't even real, right? That's not even what I looked like. But I remember going in my room and crying and thinking, like, should I postpone my wedding? Or should I get a different dress?
Oh my
gosh. Because like this person in my family thinks that I need to be different before I get married. But it was actually my mom who, after that whole experience with that family member, told me, like, this is not about you. This is about her. Mm-hmm. This is her problems with her body mm-hmm. that she is projecting onto you. Mm-hmm. And I know people had said that to me before, but however the way my mom said it that day just clicked. Yeah. And I was like, oh my gosh, you are so right. She is putting that on me because she feels a type of way about her body.
Yeah.
And she feels a type of way about her food restriction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that she feels like she has to change herself before any sort of big event.
Yeah.
Because imagine those people that don't feel a type of way. They don't say anything because it doesn't, like, they don't care, you know? Them, yeah. So it's like, if you're speaking up and really saying something like that, you're like, okay, babe. What's this really about?
That. Yeah, let's and she probably that. Like thinks that she's trying to like help you.
Oh, or for
she's
sure.
Like, she's like, yeah, I'm in your course. Corner. Like, I'm
she
just...
said that day, like, I just say this because I love you.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Mm. They're like, it's out of love.
I'm like, is yeah. it?
You're like,
no, yeah, it's out of insecurity.
It's actually hurting me even more.
But... Right. Right.
So my last one is the moment that I actually realized I can't please anyone with my body. Mm-hmm. And it was that moment that I was like, I'm really just going to show up as who I am and give it my best shot and walk out. And if that's what they want, then that's okay. So during high school, I started doing like more auditions and having to see casting. And you guys know how tough it is with casting, where it's like, you're not tall enough, you're not small enough, you're not thin enough, you're not fat enough, you're not. It's just like the list goes on. And I knew of that list, and I never took casting comments like that to heart or anything like that. I was just like, Not my time. It's okay. But, you know, still, I'm a human, so there were still moments where I was just like, okay, well, maybe if I did do a little bit of this or a little bit of that, then I would end up actually getting the role. And it was for this Crest commercial. And I remember it was like, I was like an audition, callbacks, final callbacks. They had like really big stage, like it was a big like nationwide thing. And it was between me and this other girl. And in the end of it, they ended up calling my agent and being like, sorry, we're removing her from Avail. She just actually, her teeth are just too big.
Oh. What?
And in that moment,
your teeth?
My teeth.
Your teeth.
She literally
don't
said,
they want like a big white open smile?
Yeah, you said Crest like toothpaste, yeah?
Yeah, like the Crest toothpaste commercial. And the agent was like,
yeah, sorry, they just think that your teeth is too big. And my mom, I was like on speaker and I was like hearing it. And in that moment, my mom was like, I remember hearing my mom prep herself being like, Paloma, like, you know. And I was like, Mom, something just like clicked in my head. Like, I remember having this conversation and being like, this, it's so fine. I'm like, you don't have to, we don't have to have this. I was like, it's so okay. I just in this moment have realized that I can't do anything to please anybody. Like, I'm in final callbacks and they're saying that my teeth are too big. Like, what is that? I don't even know what that means. And just, that's just so minuscule to like the greater things of life. And it was just so, I'm so glad that that happened. And I heard it, because it just, moving forward from that moment, I was like, you cannot please anybody.
Yeah.
No one. It doesn't matter if you all you can do is show up as yourself. And if that's the vision the director has, then that's the vision. If not, yeah, your teeth are too big.
Well, because let's say you go and shave your teeth down. Then for the next commercial, her teeth are too small.
Oh, right. Yes, that was absolutely it. And and my mom, and I remember seeing my mom's face and she was like, no, like, you're actually right. And I was like, Mom, I'm okay. The fact that I lost this, like, that's okay. And I know we were really excited about this project and all that stuff, but that's okay. I just was not the person. And in that moment, I realized that it wasn't about me. It was just, that was just someone else's time. There was just someone in the director's view. And I applied that to my whole life. And I was like, you're never going to be perfect for whatever anybody's standard. So just live your life. And so I remember like telling that story to my friends in high school and they were like, all right, dinosaur teeth. Like, just, it's just like a whole joke then. Yeah. And I was just like, you're like, okay.
How old were you?
I was in high school.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. I was about like 19. Wow. Yeah. Yeah. So until 19, I was like, you know what? I'm not going to care as much. Like, of course, I'm not gonna say that I don't care now, you guys. Like, even this morning, I like was going through my own personal things, just like as we do as humans. Like, every day is different, and sometimes you feel, wake up and you're like, I'm glowing, and sometimes you're just feeling a little more down. And but that was such a turning point for me.
And I'm so proud of you for having that perspective as a teenager.
Yeah,
like that's a lot to put on a teenager.
Totally.
Yeah.
Especially when you feel like you were so close. Mm. And it was like, I could have just, like, you could have walked away and been like, I could have just changed. If this was just this one thing, I could have got it.
Yeah.
I could have, you know, and that, I mean, and that casting in itself, like, let's remove, like, the body aspect of that. Like, that happens all the time where you're like, if I was just, like, an inch shorter, if I could have just did this and this and this and this. Mm-hmm. But, like,
And I honestly think that I was actually at that point by 19 because I had been going through it for so long. Like, I had lost so many commercials or projects where there was one time I was literally called to set the next day. And I remember we were driving up to LA and I got the call and they were like, we're so sorry. But they actually ended up wanting to get someone younger. Mm. Just like completely out of my control. And that, like, obviously that makes me sad that I'm like 17. I'm like, am I too old? But it's just like, that's something that you get exposed to, like with casting. They just like pick apart your appearance in addition to your performance. So I think that's how I got there at that point, because, you know, it's tough out there, guys.
No, it is tough. I think that like seeing that and like overcoming that and not letting that affect you kind of rolls into like my next one. I didn't have that great of a response to this, but I eventually got there. There was a moment right after I had turned 25, or like in like the month or two that I was turning 25 and I had turned 25, that I had just got out of the shower. And this was at our last apartment. Our last apartment had a huge, like when I say huge, I mean huge mirror. Like,
it was literally giving like hotel vibes.
Oh, like, wow. Yeah, like the whole wall was the mirror. Like, huge. And I loved it. Oh, that was the best bathroom ever. I loved it.
I do miss our old apartment.
It was so great.
That bathroom was nice.
It was so nice. And I got out of the shower, and right when you got out of the shower, like the mirror was right there. And I was like looking at my body, and I was like really looking at it. And I was so confused. Mm-hmm. And I was like, maybe I have water in my eyes. Like, maybe like I'm... like, am I drunk? Like, what's happening right now? And I got closer to the mirror, and I was like, it was like an out of body experience. And I know that sounds really dramatic, but I was like, I don't know who that is. Mm. I don't recognize that body. And it was like day and night. Like, I had taken a shower the day before and did not have this feeling, and it was like fine. Mm-hmm. But on this night in particular, I was looking at myself and I was like, I don't recognize this body at all. and I don't like it, and I'm really freaking out, and nobody was home. And I was like, am I like hallucinating? Like, what is going on? I like was grabbing like my thighs, and I was like grabbing my stomach, and I kept turning to the side. I kept looking at myself, and I was like, this is really weird, and I really feel like this is not my body. And I started to like freak out. I was like crying. I was like in the bathroom, literally like butt naked in the bathroom. On the ground, like sitting on the floor, like crying, because I was like, what is happening? Like, am I just delusional? Like, has this, right. Have I always looked like this? Am mm-hmm. I just like now waking up? Like, what happened? Did I do this? Did I do that? What, like, da da da? And I was like really going through it. And I just remember feeling like, is this the beginning of the end? Mm-hmm. Like, is this like where it all goes downhill and I'm like losing myself? Which one? That is a feeling of insecurity, right? And also a feeling of like society tells you, right, when you get a certain age, you know, you start to let yourself go, whatever the hell that means. And all of those things and all of those insecurities and all of that doubt about like gaining weight and like doing all this flooded my head. And I was like, this is it. Like, I can't even believe that I let myself, like all this stuff. And I was like truly like in a panic.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
And I was just crying and crying, and I got myself together. I stopped crying, and I was like, well, I'm just gonna go to bed because I feel like shit now and I don't want to look in a mirror ever again. Ugh. I got dressed, you know, I went to bed, whatever, the next day. I was really still feeling it, and I just like didn't look in the mirror for like a few days. I was like, this is really cracked. I don't understand, and I feel like I'm just gonna like spiral all over again. So I didn't look in the mirror. I didn't really say anything. I just kind of like lived my life. Paloma came back from wherever she was. And at some point I like said something to you about it. And I was like, you know what's crazy? Like, I like had this moment where I like didn't really know like what was going on with my body. And like my body's really different now. Like I can feel it. Like I could, at that point I was like, I feel different. Not only do I look different, I feel different in my body. And I'm not really sure what's going on. And I like freaked out. Ha ha ha. I was in the bathroom crying. Ha ha ha. Whatever, deflect. And she was like, are you for real? Do you remember this? You were like, this is crazy. Yeah. Because I was just at home and I was crying because I didn't recognize my body and all of this stuff. And we were, and it was like, you had turned 25, I don't know, some like months before that. And we were like, hold on. Are we growing up?
Yeah.
Like, is this like,
yeah,
we're growing into our grown-up girl bodies, like our grown-up woman bodies.
Yeah.
And I remember being so mad at my mom in my head for not saying anything to me about it. Mm. I'm like, why would you not tell me that this was going to happen? Why would you not tell me that, like, my hips are going to fill out and, like, all these things are going to happen? Like, why would you not tell me that? And then I remembered, at this point, she already had a kid. Mm. So she probably didn't even know.
She probably thought all of that was coming from. Mm-hmm. Well,
it
was
probably
pregnant.
Did.
Yeah.
Because she was like, I already have had a kid. Like, it's not.
Like, her telling me this, I was like, stop. Like, I had just been going through the same thing. And just, and it was like that out of body thing where I was like, my hips just feel like this body does not belong to me. Like, I don't mm-hmm. understand. Like, and just like all of a sudden clothes that fit, like literally yesterday, the day before, were just like not. And I'm like, am I losing
like it, what's going on?
And I didn't understand what was happening, and I was very frustrated with myself. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, I don't know how to describe it.
I don't either. I really don't. It was just, it was such a weird feeling. Honestly, it kind of felt like I was on drugs because I couldn't feel like how I normally moved. It didn't feel good. It didn't feel right.
Do you feel like you were really seeing your body for like the first time again?
Yeah.
Like, it was like, mm-hmm. what is, like, it's like a second puberty.
It's really, really is.
Like when you get boobs for the first time and you're like,
what's happening?
Is this?
Right. And like, ow, kind of. And like, it definitely felt like that. Now, shoo, the hips are hipping. It took me a while, right? But I was like, I'm upset. Like, I'm like, is there more?
Yeah, girl Ryan, when she was like, I love this.
This
is fantastic.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, your body thinks it's about to bear children. She's like,
well
there's
it's
no
not,
kids, but
yeah. But that was a moment where I really had a hard time. Like, really had a hard time. I was freaking out. And then it just turned into like, okay, well, I'm not 18. So my body shouldn't look like I'm 18 anymore.
That was it.
And it's this like societal obsession with like chasing our like
youth.
Yep.
And like our 18 to 19 to 20 year old bodies. Yeah. Like that is like the pinnacle of what we should always be striving for. And that we'll never be that beautiful again.
Yeah.
And I was literally just telling Ryan, I was like, Ryan, we're, and she was like, but I've literally had these, we were talking about like, we've had these jeans for this long or that. And we were like, and I was like, but we're not 19. We're not 20. Like, why are we trying to make ourselves smaller? Like, we are women and just like,
yeah,
God, like, why are we trying to be smaller? Not, like, when we were little, like, yeah. we're not
girls. Like, we're women.
Yeah, now. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel like when we were like, yeah, like, we're not, you know, this and that. And then we kind of stepped into like, yeah, we're grown. So we need to be out here like grown women. Like, we're doing this whole thing. So we're in our grown women era.
I love that. Grown women era.
It's fun. It's been great. I mean, again, like I said, not loving like having to go like shop and like do that, like find new pants and stuff. Like, that's kind of a struggle. The jean struggle is a struggle. But it's been a fun journey to kind of watch my body change, and it's been an interesting internal conversation with myself, with being gentle, being very gentle, and not being judgmental about myself, and also like allowing my body and my weight to fluctuate.
Yeah.
Cause like growing up, when I was younger, I definitely wasn't average. Like when I was young, like toddler up until like, I don't know, like 5 or 6, my nickname was Snack Wells because all I did was eat. Like I was like pretty chunky, which like love that for me. But then I started getting tall, like and fast. So it was like one day I was chunky and the next day I was not. And I was tall and thin and I was always like that. So growing up thin, I was not that was never a conversation. I didn't have to think about my weight. I didn't have to think about any of that stuff. So while other people were going through that, that was not something I had to deal with, which I don't even think I could deal with on top of the other stuff I was dealing with.
Right.
But now it feels like I'm having these kind of conversations that everyone's kind of already had with themselves for the first time. And not being obsessed with the way my stomach looks. And the way, you know, like the way my legs look and all of this stuff. And also, I'm like, I have to practice what I preach. Like, I can't be out here trying to be like, oh my God, you're perfect and you're this. Like, don't ever change. And then I'm like, well, but not you.
Yeah.
You could change. And you probably should. Because if not, then people are going to be like, you've always been so tall and thin. And like, what happened? Like, I'm so, not currently, but it comes in waves where I'm worried about people's, especially my family, saying stuff like that to me. Or even like, thinking it or telling it to somebody else in my family and them having conversations about my body behind my back. Like, I just am definitely working through that. I think being around you and hearing how you talk about your body and hearing how you talk about just like clothes and all that shit in general is incredibly helpful to me. And I'm sure it'll continue to be helpful as I'm like going through this journey of like self-love.
That makes me want to cry.
No, I was going to, I'm not even speaking because I will simply cry, but I completely agree with Ryan.
Yeah.
That really means so much to me. It's like, it's a blessing and a curse to go through this journey so publicly.
Yeah.
Because it's been amazing to see, like, obviously people online and how it's changed them, but like also like my actual friends and family. Like, I get so much feedback from like the people in my real life that like the way that I have kind of gone on this self-love journey has changed their view of themselves, which was a very unexpected part of like my YouTube journey.
Yeah.
That I thought, you know, it's like people online, but like for people I really know, it's just crazy. And because it's been online, like I go back and I look at like my old Instagram posts or like YouTube videos from like 4 years ago. And I thought that I was there, and I was doing the work, I was, you know, figuring things out, but I still would say things like, oh, well, you know, like this dress, it makes my stomach look too big. And I thought because I wasn't saying fat that I was like there, like, oh, it's too big. But like, I didn't say fat. So like,
we're good.
I'm good.
Yeah.
Right. And now I've gone completely to the other way that I do say fat, because fat isn't a bad word.
Right.
It's
a
descriptor.
Yeah.
It's a bad word if we give it power. I don't think anyone should call other people fat without them calling themselves that first. Mm-hmm. I think that that's like a, because that word is so demonized in like mm-hmm. our world, that being fat is like the worst thing you could be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That like probably for a lot of us growing up, we were told like one of the worst things that can happen to us is to gain weight.
Yeah.
And so like,
and like the number one insult is to call somebody fat.
To call someone mm-hmm. fat. Mm-hmm. Yep. But I'll call myself fat sometimes now because it's not a bad word.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's still not like my go-to word to describe my body because it has been used like to as a weapon against yeah. me.
Mm-hmm.
But I like, I think it's really cool that so many women and men too are reclaiming that word of fat. I don't know how I got to talking about that, but I'm very honored to be part of that journey.
For yes. me. Yes. And I think when we were talking about this last night, when I was like, sometimes I feel guilty for feeling a type of way about my body because I'm like, average size, I'm thin or whatever, and I feel bad being like, like I don't like the way my this looks, or I don't like the way this looks, and I feel like I'm not allowed to feel like that.
You are. Okay. I think everyone's perception is their reality. I think no matter how small or big someone is, they're gonna have things they're insecure about, and that's valid, and you feel that way. I think the only time it becomes a problem is when people start trying to say, well, there's not actually, you know, like, oh, it's just as hard for,
right.
you know, yeah, people well, who are thin or people who are fat. It's like, yeah. well, it is different because there are different societal norms. But
right.
that doesn't mean that you're not valid in feeling insecure. I think,
right.
you know, there it's perfectly normal to look at yourself and go, I don't like this. I don't like that. I don't like that. But I think where we're all at or what we're trying to do is, yes, I can feel that way, but I'm still going to live my life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sierra, I think you
are. Is it your last one?
This is your last
yeah.
one.
Yeah, I do. And this is a recent one. This maybe isn't like the biggest breakthrough, but it did happen really recently. And it's one of those things that I like wrote down and I was like, I've been kind of waiting for an opportunity to share this story.
Please bring it to the table.
So Kenzie and I go to the gym together. We lift heavy things. We do cardio. We have fun. We were at the gym a couple weeks ago and we were outside. There's like an outdoor area at our gym with like weights and stuff. So we're like outside doing our circuits and these two girls walk out. These two girls who look to maybe be in their like late teens, and they walk out at both very like very thin. And one of them turns to the other one and says, see, I told you you wouldn't be the fattest person at the gym. There was like. What? Three other people outside. It was like me, Kenzie, and like two guys. It was like very clearly
no.
they were talking
about
you?
Me. Yeah.
No.
Okay.
And I instantly felt that like that just rush through your body up in mm-hmm. like in middle right. school when you yeah, talked yeah. about that boy turning around and you just
yeah.
I felt that all over again.
Oh my God.
And then it kind of went away. And then I was like, dude, that poor girl. That poor girl.
Mm-hmm.
She felt like she couldn't go to the gym because she was afraid to be the fattest person there. Like, that's the worst thing ever. Also, like, we're at the gym. Like, who cares? Who right. cares what size you are? You're at the gym. You're moving your body. You're working out. Whatever your goal is, you're here. You're doing something.
Yeah. Right.
And so I went very quickly from, like, oh, my God, she's talking about me. People are looking at me. What does my body look like? To, right. oh, man, I feel so bad for her.
Yeah.
And yeah. Kenzie didn't hear it. And they came down and they were just kind of being generally annoying.
right.
They were being like those gym girls. And so Kenzie kind of like looks at me and like gives me a look. And then I kind of raise my eyebrows at her like, oh, there's something else
you're
here.
Like, you don't even yeah, know. Like, you don't
yeah.
even know.
And so when we went back inside, I said, did you hear? Oh, she was like, oh, my God, those girls. Like, what is it? What were you raising your eyebrows about? I was like, did you hear what they said when they walked in? She's like, no. And I said, the girl in the pink shorts turned to the girl in the blue shorts and said, see, I told you you wouldn't be the fattest person here. Kenzie wanted to go turn back around. Kenzie was like, where are we? Go back there.
I was Scrappy. Just about to say, good thing she did not hear at yeah. the time because she would have thrown hands.
She would have. And you know what? 3 years ago, I would have been there. Right. 5 years ago, right. I would have been crying in the corner. 3 years ago, I would have been like, let's talk about it.
Right.
right.
And now I'm like, that's sad.
Yeah. Because you know that it's not about you.
It's not about, yeah. it was not about me.
You were like, like you said, imagine being that poor girl and not even wanting to go somewhere and like move yep. your body because.
Also, that girl, bad friend.
Bad
so
friend.
Many, why so would you many say
things.
That?
So many things. They were like filming each other while they were lifting, like they were filming TikToks. And one of them, as she was filming, was like, no, you can't post this. You look so fat. Or like, oh like, you look like a gremlin. Like, they were very...
Oh, my God.
Women don't talk to each other like that. I'm yeah. begging, please.
Yeah, no.
I also saw a lot of myself in that because she was the cookie cutter beauty standard. She was tall, thin, blonde. She got the cute little workout set on. Mm-hmm. And she's still there, insecure. Her friend's insulting her while she's trying to work out. She didn't even want to come to the gym because she thought she was too fat for it.
Right.
Yeah. And I that was me. That was me when I went to college. And I'm like, I hope that girl is out there doing the work so that she doesn't have to feel like that.
Well,
anymore.
Like we said at the beginning, it's all about representation. Like, just, it's so, and obviously you didn't need to be that representation for that. Like, that was not necessary, and that comment was unnecessary. Like, the whole situation was not okay and unnecessary. But for you to walk away and be like, I know that that doesn't affect me right now in this moment, and I'm so much better for it. Like, that is so beautiful, and I will cry if I continue, but love you.
Thank you. I love you guys. And I'm really grateful to have friends like you guys who encourage and inspire me to be better about that and continue, like, to do the work on, you know, how I talk about and feel about my body. And I'm also really grateful for how much you guys shared and opened up, because I just know how many people are going to feel seen by, like, the stories and the perspectives that you shared.
I'm tearing.
I know, me too.
Don't do it.
I'm not.
Get her to cry. We want her to cry. She's trying.
Cry.
I'm not
going to
do it.
Cry.
I'm not going to do it.
She ain't going to do it.
She's not crying Ryan today.
No, not crying Ryan today. Tearing.
Tearing Ryan.
But you fill us with tears because you're so inspirational, Sierra. No, yeah. And I really hope.
Oh, Jesus.
I can't keep going right out. You'll cry. Will you take it away? Just tell her how much she inspires us, please.
We do feel inspired by you, and I feel like we feel really safe here, and we feel really seen. And like I said, I don't think that I would have shared those other things before because I wasn't planning on it, but I felt like this was a safe space to talk about it, and I wouldn't have felt that way if I didn't feel safe here. So
I love you.
I love you.
Let's
too.
Cut the camera so we can hug.
Okay,
bye guys.
Bye guys.
Bye.